The supporters of Ronald Reagan, one in particular is our governor.
Yeah.
They say
I heard
that
him on the air the other day, yeah.
He was on just now, too.
Oh, wasn't he?
They say that even though Mr. Reagan lost in New Hampshire, that he was expected to have the margin of defeat was expected to be worse than that, so this is really a victory for Reagan. Is it really a victory of any kind?
Well, I'm not a political analyst by any means, and all I can do now in my semi-retirement, so-called, which is busier than ever, is to observe, as most everybody else does. However, it does seem to me, from what I've heard the political analysts say, in dealing with figures and percentages, that a 60-40 difference is not a remarkable difference for the victor. It's only a 20% spread, and that it really doesn't mean anything. So, just like any set of statistics, it's the way you interpret the statistics that give you the answer that you're seeking. You can read into statistics almost anything you want by your interpretation of those statistics. So naturally, it's only fitting for Reagan to say, well, that's not a defeat. It's probably more than I expected to get in New Hampshire. So I feel very good about it. This is the political ploy that candidates will use.
Although you say you're not a political analyst, I'm certain you have feelings of your own. Who will be the candidates in November?
Well, you want me to hazard a guess, huh?
A prediction.
Well, this would be what Jack Lasculli might have called a fearless forecast. I'd really be going out on a limb, Steve, to do this, and I think that Ford will probably get the nomination. You know, primaries really don't mean a great deal. It's a popularity poll is what it amounts to. The acid test comes at the convention when the candidates are really selected to run for the office. And I think that Ford will be the Republican candidate. In the Democratic Party, we've got so many guys running that it's hard to bet on any particular horse, but Jimmy Carter right now looks very good in the popularity poll, the primaries. He's done well in every one he's gone into. Yet, I keep hearing rumblings in the background about Hubert Humphrey. And the longer Hubert Humphrey remains silent, the more I believe that he is a candidate. The advantage in remaining silent and not declaring yourself as a candidate are manifold. One being, having not said anything, you have nothing to take back or contradict. And it seems to me in several cases, Carter has been contradictory, as Reagan has been contradictory of himself by making statements at different times that don't come out exactly the same way. So a man who just sits back and remains quiet would seem to me to have an advantage. Then we come to the acid test. What happens at the conventions? And I've attended a lot of them. The steamroller takes effect. Everybody jumps on the bandwagon. These are political terms we're going to be hearing in just a few months. So then the stampede takes place, and who knows, who really knows who is going to get it? Nobody. But I hear rumblings that it might be a slate for the Democrats of Humphrey and Carter. Now, whether Carter will accede to the second spot on the ticket, I don't know. This is up for grabs.
Do you miss working the day-to-day routine on the Today Show?
No, not really. I have much more freedom. I'm working a great deal, Steve, much more than I really should be doing. But having left a job in which I had national exposure, there was no way just to stop and call a halt. And I'm not the type of person who could retire to beautiful Hilton Head Island and just play golf every day or every other day and go fishing on alternate days. And I have to be busy, I have to be active, and I like being active, and I, of course, I love broadcasting, and I like being active in broadcasting. But things have sort of ganged up on me in the past year. I will have been off the Today Show come March 14th, one full year, and I've been busier than ever. I've traveled more, been away from home. An example, the month of February, I've spent 6 days at Hilton Head. And, you know, that's a long way from retirement, as people think of it.
Although all the facts of the case are not yet out, major item in the news is the leaking of the House Intelligence Report on the CIA to a New York newspaper by a CBS reporter.
Mm.
Your former competitive network.
We never thought of it as that. They were a highly competitive network. I'm only kidding.
That's what Mr. Friendly, the former president of CBS, said on a recent interview.
Yeah, sure.
We don't fear competition. At any rate, is it a reporter's right or even responsibility in some cases to take secret material and give it to the public?
Well, now, see, I think you've hit the nail on the head. Secret material is, or should be, what it is classified as. It should be secret material. I've seen, over the years, some secret material that should never have been classified as secret material. To make a document secret, all it takes is a rubber stamp and a stamp pad, and somebody in an office in government somewhere stamps secret on it, or confidential, or the other classifications they have for information. So one has to determine in his mind what is to be considered secret. The action of Daniel Shore in releasing the documents to the Village Voice in New York are steps that I don't think I would have taken. I think I would have abided by the classification of the material. I have no idea of knowing what caused Dan to do that or want to do it and follow through on it. I have no idea what his motive could have been. I actually can't see that he had anything really to gain by that action. So I'm like the rest of us at this point. I have to wait for the outcome. He has been suspended by CBS, almost by mutual agreement, I think. And now I have to see what the outcome is, and at that point, I think I'd be in a much better position to determine whether what happens to Daniel Shore as a result of what he did is the correct thing, or whether it was not the correct thing. That I'm hedging on this because I really don't know. I don't think I personally would have done this, and that's about as far as I'd like to go on it.
CBS has had a long-time reputation, and the other networks as well, but particularly CBS, for backing up their reporters.
Yes, well, they generally do.
Is the suspension of Shore a breach of this agreement?
I don't think so. Now, there are categories. Just like when you look at statistics, getting back to that. If a CBS had fired him, that would have been one thing. But the word suspension may give us a clue that this is a temporary measure on the part of the network until the situation simmers down and until it can be determined the extent of the guilt and the damage that was done by it. So that's another thing we'll have to wait for, I think, before we can give a final judgment on it. I certainly, for one, would not like on a broadcast media like your station to condemn or condone or to even prejudge the action. And I'm perfectly willing to wait and see on the assumption that I don't think I would have done that.